It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two on a Friday on Raider Nation Radio. As you know, it's always a Modelo Friday. Modelo. Proud partner of our show. They're back with us again for football season. We thank all of our partners who are back with us. Every year we look at a new football season. That's kind of the start of our calendar year. So thanks to all of our proud partners. As we always say, every day, and we say it especially on Friday. So, as we mentioned, Eddie Pascal, friend of us all in Raider Nation, today's his last day with the Raiders. As you hear, he's going up to Seattle with his wife, two young kids. We wish him well. So I told Eddie on Friday, as I'm here with Bobby, give me some content, and we'll play some of that coming up here, a little off-season, in-season. I told Eddie, you mean so much to the Raiders. Give me, you know, a couple of interviews you did or some content here so we can play it here. And pay tribute to Eddie, because he's a friend and he's been my teammate for over 11 seasons. And when you spend your life working with people and it's their last day, you know, if they don't get a gold watch or they get a lunch or they're always welcome back, you want to send them off in positive fashion. So we'll get to Eddie's content coming up here in a little bit. As we open up the show with Christian Wilkins now is going to start camp out on the PUP list. Let me calm everybody the hell down on this, on a big picture. I don't play doctor. I don't play lawyer. I don't play psychologist. Sometimes my wife calls me the brick therapist, the Raider therapist, because I got to walk you off the ledge when they lose, and you help walk me off the ledge. But please have respect for an athlete that's injured, because it's getting crazy what we're seeing, not hearing, because that nonsense isn't going to happen on this show. Okay, we're not going to have callers call in going, oh my God, his contract, oh my God, he's a bust and all that. No, he's just going through an injury. Now, I don't know how severe it is, but we talked about this at length, and Pete Carroll addressed it at one of his media sessions on the setback, in air quotes. So there's clearly been a setback from the initial surgery. I don't know what they're going to do going forward, but whatever it is, if the doctors get it right and he heals correctly, which he should. If it takes another 6 to 8 weeks, fine. This is a young man who's going to live his entire life. You want him to be healthy, and he loves the Raiders. He came to the Raiders. Now, is he making a lot of money? Hell yeah. He's one of the richest Raiders of all time. Okay, he's 29. He signed a 4-year free agent deal for $110 million in 2024, and he got $82.75 million guaranteed. $82 million guaranteed, which means he's set for life. Generational wealth for him and his kids and his grandkids, whatever he decides to do. Now let's get him healthy. That's all we want to do. So for the people on X or on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, Truth Social, wherever you are, how dare you call him a bust or tell him he's this or that and use curse words to do this? If this guy walked into a room, you'd be scared to death to say that to his face, one. And number two, you'd probably take out your camera and ask for a selfie and an autograph. So act like an adult when it comes to Christian Wilkins. This is a very long process, the Carroll said. Quote, we're in the midst of a long, challenging process here. So fortunately, there's a lot of time, and we're going to take every bit of it. We really tried to be really diligent about the way we've worked it and the way we've monitored it and all that. And he's really been on board the whole time, but it's been challenging. What more do you need to know? The guy's hurt, and he's got a foot injury. When you're a big guy and you have a foot injury, it could take a while. You know, big guys have big health problems. Look at Bill Walton and what happened to his career with his foot injuries. So I would hope, and I haven't talked to a doctor in the building, nor would I. I wouldn't call my bosses and say, is there a story I should know? It's none of my business. When the Raiders feel like he's healthy to play, they'll play us. That being said, he's a really important piece of this team. I did mention the money. A lot of money could have went to other players, elite players, instead of him. They chose to bring him in. I was on board with this because he's an elite player in his prime. If he gets injured and he can't play or play again or at a high level, we'll wish him well. But all accounts are is that he's going to get through this and heal and be ready to play for the Silver and Black and then get behind him. I saw someone today was telling me it could be 1 to 4, 1 week, week one or week four. I don't know. They're going to just let us know when it happens. But it hurts. And he's one of us. He's one of our guys. And whenever a player gets hurt, there are players that are injury prone. He's not injury prone. This is a fluke injury to his foot. And it's not healing properly, and they're trying to get it right. So I trust the doctors. I trust him having a second opinion. I trust his rehab and all of that. But I just wanted to say, as before we get to some of Eddie's content here, just be kind to people when they're hurt. When athletes are injured, Caitlin Clark's injured now. She's a lightning rod. She has a groin injury. You don't make fun of someone who's hurt. Now, when there's load management in the NBA, I go nuts, right? You hear me when Kawhi Leonard's healthy, but he takes off, or Steph Curry doesn't play in a back-to-back road game, or something happens and someone's completely healthy, I go nuts. And then people fight back at me and say, well, they deserve a day off. No, they don't. They're off now. Steph Curry, who's a really great player, I don't want to use him as an example. Say James Harden or Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George is hurt now, but if it was Paul George, athletes are off right now. Football players are completely off. They're just coming back to camp. That means vacation, off. Same with hockey players. They're working out now, but they're on vacation. They're off. So don't tell me during the season they need to be off when they're healthy. They have days off. They don't play every day. Baseball does, but they get days off too. So when we look at the players who are injured, treat them like they're members of your family that are injured. This has never been a problem for me, but it's a problem as I look at the internet, man. People, you know, you tweet out, I say, very unfortunate. I look at the responses on my ex and some of the people and what they're saying. I just block them or just erase them or hide their replies. Not because Christian Wilkins is going to look at it. It's just because it's not the right way to behave. So I wanted to get that there. Yesterday, as we were wrapping up the show at NBA Summer League, and I was able to walk around there and have a pretty good time, T.J. Watt agreed to the 3-year, $123 million extension. Does everybody agree with me that this is about the most money anybody could possibly make? I mean, a guy who's playing 18 games is going to make $40 million a year. Are we going to get to a point 10 years from now that the next T.J. Watt signs a 3-year extension and he's going to get $60 million a year to play 18 games? Probably. If the rights fees go up and all of the streaming rights go up, and they have to divide it, the owners with the players, we're going to see salaries go like this. But this is pretty much the max. The highest for any non-quarterback in NFL history is now $41 million to play defense. What would Deacon Jones be worth today? What would Ted Hendricks, the mad stork, who could play on the outside, the inside, drop into coverage, block field goals, block punts, what would Ted Hendricks be worth? If he was playing today, probably be worth about $40 million. So it's incredible. And T.J. Watt's a really good player. I think he's at the prime of his career. He's getting paid at the prime of his career. And let it be said, the Steelers are going for it. They're going for the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. You might scoff and shake your head. Fair. I'm not a Steeler fan. I'm not pulling for him. But this is a team, by all accounts, they're going for the Super Bowl this year. And I mentioned you're going to hear me talk about the Steelers a lot. Because if you're optimistic on the Raiders and you believe from a Raider perspective that the Raiders can compete for the wild card, and most of us are on the same page that the Raiders can compete for the wild card. I don't know many Raider fans who are telling me, and there's a few, that the Raiders aren't going to make the playoffs or the Raiders are only going to win 5 or 6 games. I'm sure there's a few out there. But most are pretty positive that the Raiders are going to win more games this year. Well, the Steelers are not going to win their division over Baltimore. I don't believe so. So they're going to be playing for the wild card. And if you believe the Raiders are going to be playing for the wild card, so are the Chargers and Denver. And so are the other teams in the AFC North, such as Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. So whenever something big goes down in the AFC, my alarm goes off. And I say, how does that affect the Raiders? Well, this affects the Raiders. A guy who's as good, if not better, at this stage than Max Crosby, a defensive player of the year. Watt turns 31 in October, and Von Miller just signed, I think, at 36. You can play defense if you keep your body in shape. T.J. Watt, brother of J.J. Watt. You think grandma and grandpa and mom and dad are happy? Can you imagine going over to the Watt family compound in Wisconsin when they all get together for holidays and how much money the Suns make in the NFL? Wow. These guys broke the bank. They were both great players, and both J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt are going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Speaking of Canton, Ohio, next focus when we come back on Monday will be Eric Allen. Yesterday I went into the facility, had a meeting, and sitting there in my area for me was an Eric Allen 21 Hall of Fame hat. Yeah, a little tight around. I felt really good. A little emotional when I took that hat. I got a Tom Flores, a Kenny Stabler hat like that. Just great. So I guess that's all for sale, everybody. If you want to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website, I'd encourage anybody, get the new gear for EA, get the Eric Allen shirt, get the hat, get the pin. And I was talking to on Facebook Crusader Raider, and he's coming into Canton, so we're going to see him in Canton. I found out that I'm going to get invited to Marv Levy's, Coach Levy, the coach of the Bills. My wife and I got invited to his 100th birthday party. Marv Levy turns 100 years old. And for the work that I've done with Gridiron Greats, emceeing that event for a decade, we have the Marv Levy Award. I was very humbled to find that I'm getting invited to that party. How cool is that? I've never gone to a party for a 100-year-old. Can't imagine the people who are going to be in the room in Canton, Ohio for that. So over the next couple of weeks, starting next week, we'll be at Raiders training camp. And we'll be there multiple days. Our morning show will be there. Q will be there. I will be there. I'm going to be doing some MC work. If you're going to the practices, you'll see me a little bit on a microphone, making some announcements, doing that. And then we'll be banking interviews with players and coaches. And from what I heard yesterday, you know, it's not a secret, Pete Carroll's really into this. This is what he was like at USC, where the celebrities showed up, fans showed up. It's great that the new regime could have came in and said, close practices, we're going somewhere to train, we don't want any of our fans around. Exact opposite. Pete Carroll, exact opposite, wants the place to be buzzing. Buzzing for concentration. Remember, you got a bunch of people around in a crowd and you're practicing in a situation, you got to focus. So this will be good for the team. I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope you get tickets. I think if you're on the Raiders website, if you're a season ticket holder, whatever it is, I hope you can get to some training camp. I know there's an open practice at Allegiant Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the preseason games, which I'm going to be cramming for, coming up. So we're going to have 3 preseason games that are going to be good. We're also going to continue our conversation with the most influential Raider draft picks of all time. We did Shane Lechler yesterday. But I thought it would be appropriate today to pay tribute to Eddie Pascal. So when we come back, we're going to play some of Eddie's content, some of his interviews, his off-season content, and we're all going to wish him well. So if everybody can please go to Twitter, X, and if you can go to Eddie Pascal, please wish him well and tell him you appreciate all of his work and what he's done for the Raiders. It's Eddie, Pascal. And he's moving on from the Raiders, but he'll always be a Raider. And all the work he's done and all of his content has been really cool. And it's a pleasure to work with him and call him a friend. We're going to get to some of his content coming up next. We're brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Had a few of those last night. Thanks to our friends at Virgin Hotels, One Steak, Johnny O'Donnell. I brought my buddy Mike Babchek from SiriusXM, the morning host. Brought him there for dinner. George Sedano brought a lot of people over to Virgin to One Steak and had a wonderful time last night. The best of Eddie Pascal. Coming up next as we wrap up our Friday on Raider Nation Radio. All right, so we're talking about Eddie Pascal. Let's get to this. Asked Eddie to send us over some of his interviews and content as he steps aside from the Raiders later today.
I'm watching the game on Tuesday, and I notice after the pick that you throw the interception into the stands. And my first thought is, oh, no. Oh, no, me's going to want that football. But I found out the football is in safe hands, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I found, you know, of course, you know, I celebrated with my teammates, whatever. And I found my family in the stands, and I threw it to them. So, you know, it was a great moment, you know, I was able to share with them.
So there's been a scuttlebutt in the facility, in our studio the past couple of days. Heated debate about what the Carlson parents are going to wear to the game this Monday night. Can I give you my guess, and then you tell me if I'm right or wrong?
Yes, I would love
so
that.
For those who don't know, your younger brother Anders, the kicker for the Green Bay Packers, so he'll be here in the house. But I was thinking, I don't think that your parents, I don't think they can play favorites, right? Like, obviously, they're coming to your house, but the other brother, the other son is there. You want to be even.
Yeah.
My official prediction for the wardrobe for the Carlson parents is Auburn polo shirts.
False. Well, so my wife and Anders' wife, we kind of all put together a little gift. So they don't know it yet. So it depends when this is airing.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll check it out. But they have a little gift coming their way that's going to be very neutral, maybe a blend of Raiders and Green Bay, if you catch my drift.
I sure do.
So that's in the work. My wife picked it up today. So we'll see. I mean, as long as they accept it and wear it. But yeah, we got lots of people coming over from all over that are going to be cheering for both sides. So it'll be interesting to see what everybody's wearing.
So let's put your GM hat on for a second before we start talking Monday Night Football and the greatness that is our special teams triumvirate here in Las Vegas. But scouting report on the younger Carlson. Mm-hmm. When you look at his game, Daniel, what do we like? What do you feel good about? What does he bring to the gridiron?
He looks good. He looks a lot like a guy I'm a big fan of, number two for the Las Vegas Raiders.
He
looks like he's done a really good job. You know, he's 100% on the season so far. He's tall. He looks identical to me.
You do realize that you just described yourself, right?
Yeah,
100% on the year, tall.
If me and him swapped uniforms Monday night, I don't think many people would notice. You know, like, people would be like, maybe you looked a little different, but I don't think people would really catch on.
We got two sacks this year for Trayvon Merrick, right?
Yeah, two.
And when was it? So we had to go back to college, though, before you got after the quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, actually, in college, I don't think I really blitzed that much. In college, I really was playing man and
So when's the last time you had a multi-sack
this
outing?
This is my first time.
Not even in high school?
No. I played corner in high school.
Damn, and they didn't send you the quarterback?
No.
You've been hanging out with Max too much, man. We're going to wake up in like 6 weeks. You're going to have four or five sacks.
I know. Actually, today he was showing me some moves on the sideline during practice, you know, trying to get me right. So hopefully we get some more of them.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a dude to like learn pass rush from, it's from number 98. Was there a moment, whether it was, you know, obviously training camp or the past couple of weeks, where you're like, okay, we'll be okay with Aiden there? Because obviously there's so much change, and we talk about the past 9, 12 months, so many changes on that side of the football. But was there a kind of moment you can remember like, all right, the young guy's going to be good?
I do remember it was early on, I think like even like maybe it was OTAs or training camp, where it was like the O-line was in there for like watching like some 7-on-7 clips where we just were kind of stuck. Like sometimes that happens when you're just watching them run routes. And I was like, man, who's this number four kid? And I think it was Alex Barge. He was like, that's Aiden. He can sling it. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. So that was like probably one of the first times I was like, man, this kid can really throw the ball.
Before we get to Sunday, we got some high-level important business to attend to in Thanksgiving, right? So a different schedule this week. Obviously, things are kind of moving and shaking as you guys get ready for Sunday. But the important question, Isaiah Polamau, when you build out your dinner or lunch or your brunch or whatever you and your family celebrate on Thursday, what are the things that got to be on the plate, the non-negotiables in the Polamau household?
All right. So easy one. A little bit of turkey. I'm not a big turkey guy.
Agreed.
Throw some ham on there. Got to have that. Mashed potatoes and gravy. That's kind of, you know, everybody has to have that. Throw a little bit of dressing on there. And, you know, my all-time favorite, mac and cheese and yams.
There you go. See, my wife, because I'm kind of with you. We're like, my wife and I were talking about it this year. And we're like, listen, neither of us really like turkey. Why are we eating turkey for the sake of eating turkey? Yeah. So this year, we're doing all the sides, right? We're going to do the mashed potatoes, the green beans, the stuff, and all that good stuff. And we're just going to do steaks instead. We're like, it's just the two of us and the baby. Like, we're going to eat what we want to eat.
Yeah, nah, steaks sound wonderful, actually. That's a great idea.
Yeah, look at it. I'm just pushing us forward. In terms of dessert, are you a big dessert guy?
Two things. So I can go either banana pudding.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
That's top tier right there, or sweet potato pie.
Ooh, I feel like the sweet potato pie, correct me if I'm wrong, is real like hit or miss. Like if you get a good sweet potato pie, like that's really good. But the like chance, the percentage of failure, unfortunately, is like pretty high on that.
Yeah, yeah. But my wife does make a great one.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, smart man. So you got to plug the hey, you got to plug the Wi-Fi yeah, here.
So that's a good one right there. So I'll take that.
Share with us Austin Hooper Foundation, as we have on both sides or on both cleats here. Kind of where did this idea come from? Why is it important to you? And kind of what's the goal and the mission that you kind of want to get out there?
Sure. So in 2020, I started the Austin Hooper Foundation. We partner up with local charities with a special focus on those aging out of the system, because depending on the state which you're in, you know, they give you a few $100 and a GED and say, go play life. So that's a rough hand of cards, no matter how you break it down. And in my opinion, it's just very underserved. And I look around and I see so many, you know, wonderful charities for cats and dogs and other things. But I was just looking around. I'm like, we have so many young Americans that are going hungry, that don't really have a place to stay, that don't have access to, you know, as much technology we need in this information age. So what I try to do with my foundation is supply them with electronics, clothes, just the basic tools to just try to give them what I can do to help them move forward.
Dude, Andrew DePaula, fun fact, one of these two strongest handshakes I've ever had experienced in my life. Like the first time I met that dude back at 1220 in Alameda, he shook my hand and I put on a brave face. But I'm 99% sure like he fractured my pinky. That dude's got a strong grip.
He's got a bone crunching grip on him, doesn't
no
he?
No doubt. The other one, Austin Howard, who I think was here before you, offensive lineman, like right tackle, big, huge dude. And I remember I was like, oh my God.
I mean, you shaking a lot of hands. I should. The fact that a long snapper's up there is high praise for
you. Yeah, high praise. I mean, listen, and you know my love of all the specialists, long snappers, punters, all you guys. But man, I will never forget. I was like, God, man, this guy's got a strong grip.
It's good to see a firm handshake. That's not a lost art.
You know? No, certainly not. Certainly not in 2023. You got to have it. Speaking of Max, too, I mean, a guy who's playing out of his mind right now, who should be, in my humble opinion, in the conversation for all the end of season awards. But when you look at Max in 2023, and you've had a nice, you know, you talk about you've had a chance to kind of be up close and personal and watch his journey over the past couple of years. Like, what's different about Max in 2023 as opposed to years past?
Honestly, to be real, I feel like Max is, since I've been around him, he has always been
same
the same
dude.
He's just like, I don't know. I'm starting to think that he's low-key. Like, you ever seen like the Terminator movie and like the flesh kind of comes off of him and they like have like the metal underneath? I'm low-key thinking that. That's my idea about Max.
We can be transparent with the people here. I have I don't want to call it a nasty habit, but I have, unfortunately, at times in our friendship, broken news to you that I previously thought you knew. One of the good ones that comes to mind is the All-Pro nod a few years ago. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And I thought you knew. I was really nervous that I was going to break this one to you because you and I ran into each other this morning.
You did.
And I feel like I got close. I didn't spill the beans. But I'm very glad that Champ and AP had the chance to tell you, and it didn't come from Eddie Pascal.
Yeah, it was kind of like one of those situations where somebody's like, you just think you're going to dinner, and somebody's like, it's your birthday, right? You think you're going to dinner, and somebody's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You're like, I'm just going to dinner. They're like, oh, yeah? Yeah, like, and then later when you find out you had a surprise party, you're like, oh, like, you knew the whole time. And looking back on our conversation, I realized I could have seen the breadcrumbs, but I really thought you were congratulating me on my third appearance on Upon Further Review.
This and in the past 6 weeks.
I know. And congratulations should be in order for that primarily.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
I mean, there's a lot of people that go to the Pro Bowl. Has anybody been on here three times in the last 6 weeks?
Not in the past 6 weeks. I think,
so if we're talking about ranking honors, that seems like it should be number one.
I didn't say it. You did, and I won't dispute you. I won't fight that. You are the man of the hour, and I'm not here to rain on your parade. You get the ball, right? And obviously you kind of have to adjust on the fly to everything that's happening. But we're talking about on the way up, but like when you score, right? Like when you cross the threshold there, like, are you cognizant of the fact that this is like touched like the first one, or are you just like kind of lost in that moment?
You kind of get lost in the moment. I just was so excited. All I could do was just celebrate with my teammates. And I looked up and tried to find my family in the crowd because I wanted to share that moment with them a little bit. But it was a great feeling. Then like after the play is over, then you kind of settle down. And it's like, okay, like,
and we're hanging out with DJ Glaze and DJ. You know, now that it's way far behind us now, like, what were you feeling going into that week 3? I mean, nervous, excited, like, kind of combination, everything? Like,
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of coming. I was for sure nervous. You know, that was my first, like I said, my first game in the NFL. You know, you don't know what to expect. And it was against a veteran guy in Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, I was for sure nervous. Like I said, I just didn't want to mess up, didn't want to make mistakes. And I just wanted to go out there and play the best that I could. So, you know, the nerves were definitely there. But I was excited to be able to get out there and play.
Jacoby Myers comes and hangs out with us in studio. Do you kind of like getting that hit out of the way that first time, like a DB or a linebacker, like, lets you know they're like, you're there, you're like, okay, we're back, like, we can do this thing for real now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'd rather be the one who hit first. Like, yeah. I want to be the hammer anytime I can be. But yeah, taking that hit, man, getting back up is always the best part, I think, because then you know, like, you good, like, you took one, it didn't bother you, like, get back up, keep going.
You know, it's so funny too, you know, we see all the time, like, the cut-ups that the league does of wide receivers getting out there and getting gritty, getting nasty, you know, being you know, advocates, being valuable in the run game, especially for a team like this who, you know, AP has said so many times, like, we want to run the ball, we want to be able to control the line of scrimmage. Like, how important is it for the wide receiver room in general to be committed to that part of the game?
I mean, I think it's really important. We a unit, right? Like, if we wanted to catch the ball, ultimately, we need the linemen, the running backs, the quarterback. We need everybody to kind of do their part for us to have the time to get open. So I think we got to pay that forward, honestly, when it's our turn. We don't want anybody teeing off on the running backs, you know what I mean, getting free runs, knocking them out. So that's just our moment to go kind of pay that back and then just make our name known with how we hit, what's our presence like on the running game. So
I got to ask you before I let you go, too, because it's come up a lot. We've talked about the maturation of Trayvon, right? More vocal, the old head in the back of that DB room. Now, one thing that also feels like it's maturing and evolving are the pregame outfits. Like, it feels like we are a long way away from rookie Trayvon walking that tunnel at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah. You know, had some more, you know, experience throughout the years to get my eyes on some, you know, some fashion tips and, you know, speak to some others, you know, get my fashion style up. So, you know, I've been trending in the right direction.
I would agree. Like, how was the rest of the locker room? How the rest of the DBs responded to this new fashion forward Trayvon?
I think they're picking it up, man. You know, they all got, you know, a swag of their own. So, you know, they come every Sunday, you know, swagged out. So, you know, my dog Zay stepped it up too. We were just talking about it last game, you know, from when he first came in here, he stepped up his swag game to another level too. So big shout out to him.
And very, very excited to be joined by Sincere McCormick. And Sincere, man, the first carry, going back to the Broncos game, first carry against the Broncos. What was that like?
I mean, it was just a moment like, I'm really here. I'm really playing in the NFL game. I'm living my dream. I'm out here. I'm continuing just to ball. And that first carry, that first snap, everything just felt like slow motions. Like, oh, like, I'm really doing this. And then everything just happened in the blink of an eye. But again, like, I wasn't surprised, but I was just more excited for that moment.
What's that kind of like in the huddle, right? When you know, like, oh, shoot, like, this is coming for me. Like, this is go time for me.
Yeah, like, it's like the anticipation there. You excited. Like, you just constantly like, oh, I'm about to get it. Like, you know, your anxiety gets up, but you just like, you happy. And I like fully enjoyed the whole entire moment that I was out there around the people, just around the guys. And I know the ball is coming to me and I'm just excited because I'm like, oh, yeah. It's time to show the world what they've been missing out.
And I'm very, very excited, bringing warmth to my heart on a cold December day, sitting here with our good friend of the program, AJ Cole. AJ, so good to see you, brother.
Coach, thanks for having me.
I did tell you one of the reasons I wanted to bring you up here is I did want to talk about the My Cause, My Cleat stuff. I think it's, you know, the NFL does such a good job with so many of its like social justice initiatives and giving you guys an opportunity to kind of share things that are really important to you. And this year, again, they're doing it. And I think it's one of the best things that they do the entire calendar year. So, AJ Cole, the floor is yours. What are the cleats that we're going to be wearing? What are they going to look like? And two, what is the cause that we're championing in 2024?
So I'm a little stitious about the cleats, so I don't actually wear them in the game. You can't mess up you know, it is what it is. So I don't actually wear the cleats, but the cleats that I have, they're for this organization called the Kenya Project. I've done them as my cause, my cleats every year. I went over there in college, and it's an organization that supports a school, and there's about 800 kids that go there. And it's actually an organization that I'm on the board of now, which has been an awesome experience for me. But I went over there five times, and hopefully going to going to go back at some point. Still working on trying to figure that out. But it's a really cool organization that, I mean, I've been boots on the ground, so I've actually seen, you know, where the money that's being donated goes to, and I've seen what it does and how it's kind of changed the life of these kids. Since I've been working with them, that we've built a trade school over there, so that kids that don't have an opportunity to advance their education can learn how to become, you know, a plumber, electrician, something like that. And so, yeah, it's called the Kenya Project. Their website's thekenyaproject.org. They do some incredible stuff over there. And I'm super fortunate to have been able to work with them. And, yeah, I'm really excited always to have them on the cleats.
And a special treat for the Oregon alum, Eddie Pascal. Jackson Powers Johnson joins us. I think one of the really cool things about looking at, really, again, like the rookie class in mm-hmm. totality, but like you in particular, is kind of this love affair that the fan base has formed with you right from day one, you know, that first kind of introductory conference call to fan base. Like, this is our guy. Like, this is mm-hmm. the kind of dude that we want to embody who we are as a fan base. And it's just kept going since you got here and obviously playing in games now. Like, what is that, like, whole aspect of this been like for you to look around and see people wearing the jersey and fired up that you're playing? It's got to be pretty cool.
No, I definitely think it's super cool, and I think it's really cool for my family and friends to get to see as well, you know, all the support and kind of the fandom of it. And I think really, you know, feeds into us, like, of wanting to put out the best, you know, foot forward and the best team out there for the fans. You know, they're unwavering. The Black Hole shows up every game, and to see that, we just want to give them the best we can. And it's really cool to see, and definitely just blessed that the fans are sometimes great and sometimes a little bit heckly, but I think they're just great fans, so.
I've been so impressed the past couple of weeks with some of the young guys on this defensive line, too. I mean, look at a guy like Kalavon, right, and Tyree, who's now in his second year. Like, guys who just feel like they're on the precipice of, like, taking that next step, right? Like, yeah. What have you seen from the young dudes on that line?
I've seen their attitudes change as well. I really have. It's been cool to see Tyree, you know, grow. And I think a lot of people just forget, like, how young these guys are. You know, like, these are guys that are fresh out of college. I remember me coming out of college. I was a little bit older than them coming out, and I still just had no idea how the world worked. I had no idea how the NFL worked, and I had to, you know, find my way just like them. And I can tell Tyree, you know, KC and Jonah, I can tell they're finding their way. And I said it yesterday, too, when I was asked by the media. Like, they're proving to everybody right now that they're Raider material.
So when we come back, more of the off-season conversation, some of the stuff that Eddie's been working on, as we're thanking Eddie Pascal and saying goodbye to him after his 11-year run with the Raiders, as we wrap it up on Friday, brought to you by La Casa Cigars and Lounge. I think it's open, or going to be open like ASAP. Everybody who's blowing up my phones, Mike says we're about to open. Live entertainment, live music, Tivoli Village, La Casa Cigars and Lounge. Wrapping it up next on Raider Nation Radio.
Knows how I feel about the silver and black and my commitment to being the best in the world at what I do and being the best leader and winning. That's truly all that matters. And taking a lot of time to self-reflect how I can improve on and off the field and be the best version of myself. And I want to be here. I want to win here. I look at guys like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, some of the greatest ever do it in one place, and Tom Brady's another one that did it at the same place for most of their career, you know what I mean? So those guys, you know, seeing what they did with their career was a big inspiration for me, and for, you know, there's always going to be tough times, and there's been a lot of adversity since I've been here, but I feel like God put me in this position to help be a part of that, a big part of that change, and Pete Carroll, John Spytek, new ownership, Mark Davis, obviously. The conversations I've had have been incredible, and I'm comfortable, I'm happy. that's all that matters. So I'm excited.
You know, we were talking to John this morning. He said one of the major things over the past 6 weeks, and obviously going into this week as well throughout the course of the offseason, is kind of having that commonality and that understanding of what you want, what he wants, and making sure that everyone is rowing in the same direction. Like, how you talked earlier about the importance of that relationship between head coach and GM. Like, how do you go about building that in a natural, organic way?
Well, we really do have an approach, you know, that I'm working to share with the organization in meeting with the personnel people as well as our coaches, and then eventually it'll be with the team and all of that, and trying to extend the message through this avenue here to our fans and the people that follow us. What really makes this really accessible is the makeup of Tom Brady and the makeup of John Spytek, the makeup of Egon Durbin and Michael Melvin, Todd Wagner. We are all in this for one reason, is to do something really special. And that we're going to go for it. We're not holding anything back. And to be in that environment and that mentality, representing Mark Davis, you know, it's just a great thrill. So it's not going to be hard for us to go for it. And it's not going to be hard for us to be charged and working off of one another and continuing to feed off of each other's energy, you know. And so I feel kind of in the middle. I got to be responsible for tapping on all that, and I look forward to that challenge.
Big picture.
Yeah.
What about this situation here in Vegas made sense for you at this point in your career?
Yeah. You know, obviously, opportunity is always good, right? And you got to go where the opportunity is calling. So for me, you know, just being in this realm, you know, being back in the West Coast, being a Raider now, I think that's the most important thing. You know, this shield, you know, that you're wearing, the shield that's on the hat, you know, these logos and everything that a Raider stands for is something special. You know, I've been a huge fan since I was a kid. You know, just seeing all the greats, right, that just went through here. I mean, I grew up watching Miami, and one of the special guys that I liked watching was Warren Sapp, you know, when he came through, you know, the Raider Nation. So it's just unbelievable, man. And I'm super excited about the opportunity. We have a great coaching staff. Pete Carroll is just, you know, he called me right away, and we chopped it up, and he asked me, hey, are you ready to run the ball for me finally? And I was like, yeah, let's do this, you know. And also, obviously, Chip, you know, Chip Kelly, I started out my career with him out in the Eagles. So it's just a full circle moment for me.
You know, it's so interesting, JJ, like when we found out you were joining us, right, and everyone on draft weekend is going through the stats and what you bring to the table and always going to, you know, stop the run here and can be stout defensively there. But it's hard not to get excited when you see this big fella rolling, mumbling, stumbling at the goal line with the ball in your hands, man. I was doing the math earlier today, and I think it was like one out of every three times that you touched the football, it ended up in the end zone. Like, yeah. that's a pretty good percentage, my friend.
Yeah, me and Ashton were actually just talking about that. He seen a couple highlights of me running the ball. So I said, man, look, I'll block for you first, but look, we get to that goal line, I got to get in the end zone. But no, it's fun. You know, like I said, living every big guy dream, you know. High school, I played offense. Like, that's all I played, receiver, quarterback, running back, never played defense. Came to Auburn, played tight end my freshman year, and then my sophomore year, we got a new coach, and I went to defense. And from then, I've been playing offense and defense.
I have, in the nicest way, like, how are you, sir, playing high school quarterback? Like, what does that look and feel like when you're out there under center? You got an arm on you?
Oh yeah. It's plenty film out there. You know, just go check it out. But I don't know. It was just like normal for me. Like I know people was like telling me, "Oh, you gonna play defense? You gonna play defense in college? This and that." And in my head, I'm like, I'm an athlete. Like, I know I'm just big, but, like, that's their fault they can't tackle me, you know? So it's just small stuff like that. But I wasn't blind to the fact that I knew one point I was going to make the transition. It was just, when did I want to make it, you know? And at that point, Auburn didn't have enough D linemen on roster. So it was me just being selfish and just going to do something that our team needed at the time. And that's when Kiffin came calling and was like, hey, man, you want to do both sides? And I was like, let's do it.
You know, is it exciting for you, before I let you go, we talk about Las Vegas, we talk about playing at Allegiant Stadium, that beautiful palace mm-hmm. down there off the strip. Like, it's got to be exciting for you, the family, this new chapter in, you know, with one of the most storied organizations in North American sports and this brand new stadium, right? Like, are you excited to kind of experience all of Vegas and what it has to offer for you guys?
Man, so I did last year when I played
That's
in
right.
Carolina.
That's right.
So we came here to play. And the first thing I said, I was like, man, this stadium is beautiful. Like, everything they got going on. You know, growing up, you hear so much about the Raider fans. You know, you want to be a Raider. For some reason, it's in you. You know, everybody got that, I want to be a Raider at some point, you know, going down in their career. And I got that chance for me now. And, man, honestly, I'm so ready and excited for what God has for me and what Vegas and the Raiders got for me, too.
And one of the guys that you targeted, obviously, very early in the process, the new quarterback for the Silver and Black, Geno Smith. And again, kind of just take us, you know, behind the scenes as much as you can, right, about mm-hmm. how that comes together, the importance of getting better at the position. We've heard from you. We've heard from Pete about having to improve that quarterback room. So, yeah, just kind of in a very general sense, how that deal came together with you guys.
Well, really, like, you know, at the opening press conference, I feel like Coach and I kind of hammered home we were going to leave no stone, no rock unturned at really any position, but critically the quarterback position. And so, you know, we were trying to be involved in any possible player movement that there was out there at the quarterback position. And, you know, obviously there's a familiarity with Coach and with Geno from Seattle, and really Geno played his best football for Coach there. And, you know, when you've watched Geno through the years, he can throw the football with the best of any of them, honestly. I mean, you watch some of the throws he makes over and over again, downfield, you know, short, you know, intermediate. The touch is there. The arm strength is there. And, you know, when you have Coach Carroll in your camp and he can swear by the player, the competitor, the worker, you know, the leader, that's a front row seat, or that's information that, you know, if I was still with the Bucks, for instance, we wouldn't have. And, you know, so as we got into it and we evaluated the options in free agency, the other players that maybe were available via trade, you know, ultimately we arrived at a spot where we thought adding Geno made a lot of sense for us. It upgraded the position, in our opinion. You know, the compensation from a draft capital standpoint wasn't so costly. I mean, I love my picks more than anybody, and I got to remind Coach Carroll how much I love picks. But listen, we used the late third round pick to hopefully have our starting quarterback here for years to come, and it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. So super excited that Geno's here, and, you know, can't wait to see what he can give to our offense.
You know, we've heard so much over the past couple weeks, Geno, about your accuracy, the understanding of the game between the years. But, like, what's the portion of your game that we haven't talked enough about? Like, what's one of the things that you're really proud of? Like, hey, man, I can do this, that, and the other, but don't sleep on this portion of my game.
Yeah, I think people, the one thing that I don't like is that people try to use my age as a negative thing. But, you know, I've gained a lot of wisdom, but I'm also still very strong and fast. And, you know, I mean, if you want to get these young 24-year-olds, 23-year-olds out there on the field and work with me, we'll see who's faster and who's stronger. But, like, I'm still athletic. I can still move. I'm still mobile. I believe that, you know, I've continued to get, you know, faster and stronger throughout my career. And I'm in a really good spot here at, you know, at 34, be 35 this year, but I still feel like I'm 21. And, you know, people will see that when they get to see me on the field. They'll see I'm quick twitch, I can move, I can play all the positions, but I'm just a quarterback.
You know, Pete talked about, he's talked about it a lot, but he brought it up again today, just the experience that you gain from sitting in that number two chair. And you talked about being, you know, that second coach for Russ or whoever it was when you were waiting for your turn.
Yeah.
Zoom out now and you kind of look at that experience of having to wait, mm-hmm. of having to be ready to go at a moment's notice. Like, what do you take away from those times?
Yeah, I mean, I gained patience, something that I really never really had in my life. You know, I gained perspective. You know, you go from, I had never been, you know, a second string quarterback, or I'd never not played. I mean, my entire life, you know, from the time I was 11 years old, you know, I was a 4-year starter in high school, 4-year starter in college, started out the gate in the NFL, and then you take a seat back, and it was all new to me. And at first, I resented it. I hated it. I still hate those times, but I had to go through it in order to get to this point. And I thank God he makes no mistakes, and so I'm happy with it.
All right, so as I say goodbye here for the weekend, we'll be back on Monday. Everybody cool off. Everybody cool off if you can. Thanks to Bobby for putting everything together. Bobby does an unbelievable job. Thanks to all of our proud partners. And when we come back, the big thing that we're going to be doing is going down the road and hitting on training camp. So the Christian Wilkins story, we covered that today. Q's coming up. I know he'll have his opinions on that, from his podcast to his national show to this show. And I'm sure you'll have a voice to give your opinions on that. I'll be back on Monday, and hope you all have a great weekend, everybody. Always appreciate you listening to the flagship of the Silver and Black. And thanks to Raider Mort. I'm going to remember this week as we paid tribute to a fallen Raider fan, Steve Mortara, Raider Mort, who passed away. We had his tribute show earlier in the week. It's up on my YouTube channel at JT the Brick YT. Please share that with people who know Mort. Maybe you can send him a link. I'd greatly appreciate that. And have a great weekend.